No, the mojo's got to be going your way when Mike Breen's halfway out saying bang with Sam Merrill, and he has to take it back. That's a pro's pro, Mike Breen. He was ready. Even as painful as it would have been. But the basketball gods wouldn't let him yesterday, because why would the basketball gods reward James Harden? You can't do it. This was yesterday. This was Mike Brown after the game. This is what he had to say on the Knicks game plan in the fourth quarter.
They were trying to do the same thing with Jalen, and so we said, okay, you know, we feel like we can play that game. We try not to play that game much, but we feel like we have a guy that we can play that game with, and Jalen. And so, you know, just like we have to try to figure out different ways to guard Harden and Mitchell, they got to figure out different ways to guard Jalen. But we were, well, there's no secret, we were attacking Harden.
Wow.
You know, it's, you know what? That's nasty.
They just
when
call
the
you
coach,
out by name.
When the coach,
most of the time they just say a player.
But the coach is letting, like, that's our game plan. I'm letting the public know this is our game plan.
Last year, at least, it was a player saying it about Tyler Hero. You know, like, they were like, oh, it was Darius Garland. Also,
yeah,
a parking
what made
cone.
That embarrassing was he was Tyler Hero for the Cavs.
The thing that was embarrassing, like, the thing with James Harden, too, is, like, there was one where, like, he couldn't even bother to, like, run towards a closeout. He's just like, oh. I'm just like, man. This guy really is just, you know, it just doesn't, it just sticks out like a sore thumb. It really does. So.
Like a beard?
It does.
Sticks out like a beard?
It just does. I'm just like, man, it's so embarrassing. So, like, for people asking me, yes, I obviously would want the Knicks to lose more, but it's. It is a house money petty series for old Tobes. Like, because if I can watch James Harden slander all day, I'm not going to not enjoy that. He was terrible. And I just don't know how he looks at himself in the mirror, Vlad.
I get it. And I understand it. And I appreciate it. But I know there's a little part of you, tiny, like 0.1%. If the Knicks win and Vlad is happy, you'll be, at least for one fleeting second.
It'll feel okay for you.
And then you can hate for the rest of the time.
I don't like that Ben Stiller. He ruins it for you, though. I got to be honest with you. Every time they go to him on the sidelines, I'm just like, oh, my God. It's Ben Stiller.
You know what I realized? I think Ben Stiller's trying to be number two after Spike. And
he's trying.
Like, yeah. I think
he's
there's
not
a
in
fight,
the power rankings.
There's a fight foot in the power rankings to be after Spike, who's the biggest Knicks fan. And I don't think he likes Shamalay taking over his spot right now.
Yeah, I don't think he does, but it just is what it is. You know, he got very sensitive about the Met Gala thing.
Gary.
And it is just, I don't know what to tell you, Ben. You know, but
Tracy Morgan's throwing up before games, so that might have taken.
That was against the Heat, wasn't it?
Was that against the Heat?
Was that against the Heat?
Or was the Pacers last year? I think it was the Pacers last year.
I thought that was the regular season that he did that.
Nah, I was in the playoffs.
Oof.
Yeah, he barfed. Yeah, Fat Joe. Oh,
no, it was. It was during the, it was March 2025.
Heat. Oh, it was regular season?
Yeah.
Okay.
Heat and Knicks. The incident halted play for more than 10 minutes.
Oof. Jeez.
Jeez Louise. Anyway, that was rough. Miami Dolphins, they got OTAs going on right now as they're over at Miami Gardens getting some work in. You know, everybody getting to know old Coach Halfley. Jeff Halfley yesterday talked a little bit about Kenny G. And he was talking about what the plan is for old Kenneth Grant this upcoming season.
Right now, we'll start him off on the inside and see how we develop, who else develops on the edge, and in certain packages maybe. You know, if we get in the five down, he could be a guy that pumps out there. If we want to play certain fronts and get in a different spacing, yeah, I could see him potentially moving around, him and Biggers and some of the other those guys. They give us some flexibility that's really nice to have. So. Yeah,
you want me to explain, break that down for you?
Don't get your hopes up. He might see it.
Break it down, Leroy.
Who's typing like that?
So the first thing I identified with Kenneth Grant is this. He is not a two-gap nose tackle, meaning that he works on speed and explosiveness, right? To have him stand up, hold the offensive lineman, and read is putting him at a disadvantage. So you want to use him to his strengths. When they talk about moving him around, they like his explosiveness off the ball, and they would like to take advantage of that at different spots if needed during the course of a game. But last year, having him start off, you know, doing something he'd never done at that position. He got pushed around a lot because the first thing he did was stand up. He hadn't learned how to use his hands yet, and it hurt him. So that's basically what he's saying. We want his explosiveness. We want his quickness off the ball. We want him to hit gaps. We want him to be a disruptor. And a disruptor is somebody that explodes off the ball and just gets penetration in the backfield.
Yeah, that seemed like his best stuff last year, right? Like, it seemed like they let him go a little bit more with that as the year went on.
Well, I saw that right away because I saw him in college. And I saw him, you know, when he was in college, he was always in the backfield. He was always causing havoc. And you don't just lose that. It has to be kind of a technique you're being asked to play or something along those lines. So I start watching, and he's almost two-gap. Two-gap means you just hold the guy up, read the play behind it, and then shed the guy and then go make a play, or a linebacker will make the play, right? The problem with that is the hardest thing for young players to learn when they get into the NFL is how to use their hands, both as an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman. And if you haven't learned how to use your hands, you get pushed around. That's what happened to him early.
Do you get any of that stuff in OTAs? Because, like, you're not able to hit, but can you use your hands with the trench play as this is going on? Like,
when you're playing without pads, that's all it is.
Okay.
It's about hand position. It's about teaching them where to get their hands. Like, the offensive lineman is trying to get that that chest pad. You always see they can grab that chest pad and hold on, and that's not holding, right? It's only when the arms get outside that they call it. So same thing with the defensive players. You're trying to slap and get those arms off of you so you can then do what you need to do. And so when you watch, if you go to practice, right, you go to practice and you watch some of these offensive line and defensive line drills, most of the early drills in practice are nothing but using your hands. Whether it's you see the little swim move that the D-line do on the dummy, you see the offensive lineman, they just keep, you know, trying to get their hands in. And that's all they work on in moments like this, to try to work on your hand positioning, where you put your hands on the guy in front of you. And it becomes very little contact. Right? That goes along the front, unless you're just shooting a gap.
Happy Evelyn says, Kenneth Grant, another Greer bust. You don't sound
He's not a bust.
You don't sound very happy, Evelyn.
He's not a bust, but I will tell you that one of the things that guys get in trouble with is sometimes you get drafted and the organization assume that you can just do all these different things, and they're not saying we're bringing you in because of what we saw at the last level. You're asking them to do a little bit more or something different because you think he can do it. As time goes on and you realize he can't, then you tweak your defense to lean into his strengths.
I think you.
So that's kind of what happened at the end of the year.
Crowd of the Goat says, for as high as he was, he's close. I think it's too close. I think it's too soon to say bust on him. I think if anybody's got the pressure on him this year to shed that, it's probably Chop Robinson. I don't even think you can call Chop Robinson a bust, but there's more pressure on Chop Robinson than there is Kenneth Grant. Kenneth Grant's going into
the
year, too.
And here's the difference. The excuse that I can make for Kenneth Grant and kind of doing different things at that position, which, like, people don't see that. All they see is, oh, he ain't making plays. He ain't doing this. There's a reason behind it, right? And so I'm trying to explain that to you. The problem with Chop is Chop came into the league with the moniker, I get close, but I don't make sacks.
That's true. Yeah, he didn't put up numbers
in college. When he continues to do that and he's still not making plays, and you saw this in college, then you can have questions. You see what I mean? Then you can have questions about, wait a minute, this is what they saw him do in college. They said it when he got drafted, that this guy is always in the backfield, but he never gets the sack.
Well, that's going to be one thing that's going to be interesting, is like, these guys aren't They're not John Eric Sullivan's guys, so I almost feel like the rope is going to be a little bit. It's not going to be as long for guys like that. You know, when they're your own draft actually, picks, I feel like it is one of those you give a little bit more leeway.
Well, here's the deal. You're wrong about that.
Okay.
For this reason, they don't have any money, and they have a lot of young players, so they're going to have a longer leash because you don't have anybody else.
Oh, yeah, for this
year. So they're going to have to coach them up.
No, well, listen, for this year, it's that. Yeah, I'm just saying. Right. This is probably last legs, though.
I think that you will see Kenneth Grant in a better spot this year. And you're going to hear the thing that drives me crazy. Oh, the second year, he's finding his rhythm. No, they're putting him in better positions. You'll see that early. With Chop, it's a different story because he needs to do something that he really hasn't done, and that is get in the backfield and make a sack.
Wilkins had a really bad rookie year too. Like he wasn't very.
It was more. It was a lot of the same stuff because remember with Wilkins, when he left, they complained about him just going, doing whatever he wanted at times.
But the thing with Grant, like, people always talked about, you know, his motor game. Remember, like, the big viral play that when he got drafted was the chase down.
Running back down.
Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, I know he's huge. He's big. I mean, we talk about Caden Proctor all the time, right. And Kenneth Grant's a big boy, but.
Here's the problem, though. Okay? When you're shooting gaps, you're chasing, right? You're there, and then you can rally to the ball. When you're holding a guy up and looking to see where the action is and then trying to shed that behemoth in front of you, sometimes you get in a little trouble because now you're not in a position of strength. And so a lot of that goes hand in hand. And so I will be interested to see, one, the way they're talking about moving these guys around means that they're going to let them go eat. That means they're going to shoot gaps. That means they're going to do stuff like that. They're not going to be a whole bunch of guys holding people up, right? And so I want to see when the season starts, if we see more of that, because if you see more of that explosive stuff that they did towards the end of the year, right, then you're going to say, oh, okay, our D-line is, you know, our D-line looks like they're coming around, but it might have been what they were asked to do. That's, like, I can't answer that yet because I'm not sure. Like, he could be shooting. They could put him in a position to shoot gaps and he still get dump trucked. I want to see when he's given an opportunity to be the guy that he's been throughout his career, if he flourishes in that role.
Jeff Hafley also yesterday was discussing Jordan Brooks and how much he likes to coach him. And here's what he had to say on that.
Great leader, loves football. Works really, really hard. I mean, he's made the right way. I've really enjoyed him. You know, you see the film, you see the type of player that he is, but once you get to know him, you kind of understand why. I think his work ethic is elite, and he loves football. He absolutely loves the game, and he wants to meet. He wants to go over stuff. He wants to learn. He's a fun guy to coach.
All right. Still
Let me respond to if Dolphins drafted Bane, might not have the sacking problem. That's now, here's the other thing, okay? And I'm not saying this is or isn't going to be a problem, okay? But at every level, now I will say this, I'm going to give a pass to the Miami rush-ins for this reason. They had JT. Who knows his transition getting to the league and what were the things he had to work on.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say this. It's a whole different level when a guy that weighs 40 or 50 pounds more than you and have a 6 or 7 inch reach on you. Right? You haven't seen that. And so what I would say is that if there were teams that kind of shied away from it, I understand why. It does not mean that I think Bane is going to be a bad player. I just think that if you're drafting in the top 10 or top 15, are you willing to risk your future on what you think those positions and how those positions play out?
No, I'm not the right person to ask about this.
I know. I know most people down here don't agree with it, but I'm just saying that's the reality of the situation. Whether you like it or not, that's how they think about these things.
I'm trying to have an open mind about Caden Proctor, and I'm, you know, and it doesn't help that every friggin' day on my Twitter timeline, this Tampa Bay Buccaneers social media team, like, they love Ruben Bain. They keep putting stuff out there nonstop. Right. Like, you got to get off my time. I might have to block them.
Keep in mind this, though. When you look at Tampa's D-line and you look at Miami's D-line, Tampa's D-line is in a different place. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, and so that also has to come under consideration, too.
Yeah, as much as I love Zach Sealer, he's not Vita Vea.
But and keep in mind, think about this. You got a guy who's always getting doubled and triple teamed and causing havoc up the middle. That creates for the guys outside. You see what I mean? That creates.
We'll take a break here on the program. More to come here on the show. Get you caught up with your headlines. We're back after this.